Amen. Amen. Hello.
Good morning.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for having me. I just want to start out today by saying I believe we are on the brink of the greatest revival in history.
Amen.
And the greatest harvest of souls that we have ever seen. Amen? It's coming. It's coming like a tidal wave. It's coming. It's coming like a tsunami kind of off in the distance, but it's rising and it's coming. I sound like I'm in a tin can. I don't know if you could fix that, but thanks if you can. Okay, so it is coming. And because it's coming, we, God's people, we need to prepare for it. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. So part of the duty of the church, the local church, is to equip the believers for the work of ministry. See, ministry is not just about pulpit ministry. We all have a ministry. Amen?
Yes.
That's right.
So this morning, I'm going to give you some equipment, if I may, to help you to sharpen your skill set. Okay? What I'm going to share with you this morning is very simple, but very powerful. It may be news to some of you, but most of you have probably heard this before. And if you have, then it's just sharpening you. Amen? Okay, Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So I'm here today to stir you up in love and good works. And then Hebrews 10:25 goes on to say, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more you see the day approaching." So amen. The day's approaching, and I'm here to exhort you. In case you haven't noticed, the world is in a mess. In a mess. I mean, we were in a mess prior to the pandemic, right? And now we're really in a mess. I remember when I was a young girl learning how to cook in the kitchen, my mom always taught me, you clean up one mess before you make another mess. Otherwise, you got a mess on top of a mess on top of a mess, right? Well, that's what we've got in the world. We got a mess on top of a mess on top of a mess. It's just, and the pandemic's just made it bigger like a snowball. It is just snowballed. But when tragedy strikes, and God knows tragedy has been striking, yes, people are looking for someone to listen. So we need to be good listeners. People are looking for someone to relate to. So we need to be relational. People are looking for answers. And as Christians, we have the answer. Jesus is the answer. And that's what I'm calling today's message. Jesus is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Following Jesus is the answer to all of life's problems. No matter what our problem, Jesus is the answer. We, the church, just need to find ways to communicate that message of Jesus to the world we live in and make it relevant so that they can relate to it. 1 Peter 3:15, you can put the slide up, thank you, says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." People are seeking answers, and we have the answer. Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
The question is, what has God done in your life that you can share with others? If you've known Jesus for any length of time, then I'll bet you have a list of victories in Christ. We need to recall those victories. Recall them to mind and share them. Psalm 145, verse 5 says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Meditate, call them to mind. It wouldn't hurt to make a list and keep it in your Bible. Keep a list of some of the things God has done in your life. Because we have a tendency to get buried in the cares of life and just focus like that guy on the, we just watched, right? Focusing on our problems when we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, amen? We need to get our eyes off from all these cares that come in and try to get tunnel vision, right? And get us to look on them. We need to recall and meditate on it. It means think about, ponder over and over the wondrous things that God has done for you. Okay, recalling what Christ has done for you will do two things, okay? Number one, it will encourage you in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. And I think he knew how to do this from little up. Remember when he was out taking care of the sheep and he heard about Goliath? And he went to King Saul to volunteer, this little skinny kid, to volunteer to go and slay Goliath, the Philistine giant, right? And so Saul pretty much questioned him about what qualified him to slay the Philistine giant. And he said, and I quote, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. David was encouraged as he reflected on past victories in God, and we will be too, okay? And number two, it will encourage others in the Lord. Okay, when you bring up these victories and tell other people what God has done in your life, it strengthens their faith. They now can have hope in Jesus. That, oh, what God did for you, maybe he'll do for me too, right? Maybe Jesus is the answer, right? The light bulb can go on. It can begin to put hope in their heart. Revelations 12, 11 says, and they overcame him being the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, your testimony has power to overcome evil, to overcome the enemy. That's why we need to be sharing our testimony. If you are in Christ Jesus, you have a testimony. You have a testimony or a story of how you found Jesus in the first place, how he called you out of this mess. He called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. You've got a story about that that you can tell. Or maybe your story is, I was brought up to know Jesus as a little child, and I've just always followed him, then you've got a great testimony. I wish I had that testimony, you know? Truth is, I live like the devil, okay? And but God rescued me out of that, and he changed my life. But if you have that testimony that I've known Jesus as a little child and never strayed from him, God bless you. You have a powerful testimony of the keeping power of God, amen? And you need to share that. So we need to share these testimonies with people that points them to Jesus. It points them to the way. Jesus is the way. And he is the answer to all of their problems, the savior of their soul. But if you've been a Christian any length of time, you have other testimonies. You have other stories. Like I said, the list, right? The list. So we need to keep these things fresh in our mind so that we can share them with others. Because the truth is, we've all gone through stuff. All of us. Death of loved ones, broken relationships, wayward children, broken marriages, loss of jobs, friends, sickness, disease. I mean, the list goes on and on. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, then he has helped you again and again and again. And the thing to remember when we face more obstacles in life is today's test is tomorrow's testimony. You see, we can have no powerful testimony without there being tests in our life. And tests, trials, is what test our faith. I saw a sign outside a church a couple weeks ago. It said, life is tough, faith is tougher. And it's true. Put your trust in Jesus. He will see you through. And having gone through the fires of life, having gone through these trials, we have found comfort in the arms of our Savior. And according to 2 Corinthians 1:4, you can now comfort others with the same comfort that you've received. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So it becomes a victory for everyone. Share those stories and point them to their Savior. When you share your testimonies of how Christ has been your answer, you are doing the work of an evangelist. Did you know that?
Yes.
And some of you say, oh, I'm not an evangelist, not me. You know, I can't do that. Listen, an evangelist is just about sharing your faith with others. In its simplest form, that's all it is. And you can all do that. Everyone can do that. 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul told Timothy, but you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So you don't have to worry if you don't know enough theology, right? You don't have to worry if you haven't, you know, maybe haven't memorized, you know, the whole Bible. Well, that's okay. I exhort you, though, memorize a few scriptures. Amen? Because there's power in those. But all you have to do is share your faith. That's powerful. And nobody can take that away from you. Nobody. Simply tell your story. Now, here's four pointers about things to remember when you're telling your story. Okay, number one, watch your length, okay? There's nothing worse than, did you ever talk to somebody and they go on and on and on and bunny trails here, bunny trails there, right? And we run down the bunny trails and we chase that and then we forget what we're talking about. And okay, so we need to watch our length, okay? We need to get to the point. Right? And I know you guys look at us ladies and say, oh, you ladies are really good at that. It's like, can you get to the point? Yeah, we love detail, don't we, ladies? But yeah, we need to watch our length. Okay, number two, keep the focus on your friend. Okay, keep the focus on your friend. How? By emphasizing the aspects of your story that relate to their problem. See? That's what you have to focus on. And don't forget that. It's about ministering to them. It's not about you, right? Okay, and number three, again, add scriptures. Okay, the Holy Spirit is so awesome. He will bring those scriptures to your remembrance. The Bible says he brings all things to your remembrance. So you can be praying as you're talking, okay? If you can multitask at all, I know for some of us it's hard to walk and chew gum, but if you can multitask at all, okay, as you're talking with them, you can be kind of praying on the inside. Lord, give me a verse. Lord, show me where do I go next? You know, and you can be kind of multitasking to some extent. And he will quicken scriptures to you. And God will use them because the word of God is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword against the enemy. And the word of God is so powerful, it goes forth and it does not return void, the Bible says, but it accomplishes what he wills. The power is in the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit. That is the power. And number four, make sure you show them how the issue you're describing was changed through Christ. Okay? So, in other words, how was your life BC? And how did Christ come into your heart? How did you turn to him? And how did you do that? What did you say? And in your life or situation, and how is your life different now? Or if it's about a situation, how was your situation before? And what did God do to strengthen you? And how are you now? See? So you want to make sure those elements are in there. Okay, now, if you're ready for it, and if you sense the time is right, you can share his story. Okay, his story is the greatest story in history. The greatest. Sharing his story is sharing the gospel, the good news. Gospel means good news. And it's the greatest honor there is to share his story. My favorite way of telling his story is by using a simple illustration. Okay, you can share it so easily. Now, if you want to turn in your bulletin, there's a bulletin insert. It looks like maybe my granddaughter drew it. Okay, it's stick figures. This is the illustration, and I'm going to draw it up here. Okay. And I'm going to kind of show you how you can use this as a tool. Just add it to your toolbox, okay? And you can draw this. Anybody, you don't have to be an artist. My grandchildren could have drawn that, okay? But it's stick figures, and it's so simple. And you could use it anywhere, like over coffee with a friend in a restaurant. They have them placemats or a napkin. Just say, hey, let me show you this. Have you ever seen this before? Okay. And what you do is you draw kind of a Grand Canyon effect. Okay. And you put us over here and God over here. So it goes like this. There's us and there's God. And there's this separation between us. We're born that way. And most people have some kind of a sense of this, that they're just not connected to God. And they want to be connected, but they're not connected. And the reason for that is sin. Sin separates us from God. In fact, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, we're all in the same boat. And to make matters worse, the Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death. That means because we're sinners, we all deserve a death sentence. It's like we're all sitting on death row. And that death isn't just physical death. No, that death is separation from God. So it's a pretty bleak picture. And we try to reach God. Sometimes we try various good works. We try to reach him, but they all fall short. We have all sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. All of our good works are like filthy rags. They're nothing to God. They don't reach him. But the good news is, Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sins. He paid that death penalty that was hanging over each and every one of our heads. He paid it by laying down his sinless life, because he was altogether sinless. He laid down his life. He came to earth for that purpose, to save us out of the mess we were in and bridge that gap. So he died on the cross and he rose again. And when he rose again, he defeated death. He defeated it. So now we can be connected. And that's the good news.
Yes, it is.
But it's not enough to just mentally agree with that. See, yes, I agree that. We also need to confess him with our mouth. Ask him to come into our life. It says if you believe in your heart Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth, then you shall be saved. So that's how we get across the bridge. See, we have to actually walk across the bridge ourselves. We're over here. And we're sad without Jesus, right? But we walk across the bridge by a simple prayer, asking him into our life, saying, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need you. And I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior. And when we do that, we walk across the bridge by faith, and now we're connected to God. Amen?
Amen.
And then you can ask your friend, where are you in this illustration? Now, I've had people tell me they're right here on the edge. What does that mean? They're ready. They're ready to cross over, right? I've also had people tell me they're way off the page, okay? They're not ready, and there might be some issues that you need to talk about, okay? But if they're ready, you can pray with them. So I made that little illustration for you and put it in the bulletin, because some of you probably can't see this too well. And also, now you have a tool to take with you, right? And you can use that. You can use that in all different places, and it is very effective. Now, because I shared this with you, I'm going to ask us all to pray a sinner's prayer together to accept Jesus as our Savior. So if you would, just close your eyes and pray after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need you.
I want you in my life and heart.
Please come into my heart and be my forgiver
and my Savior.
Be my leader.
And please fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Thank you for paying my sin debt on the cross.
I choose to live for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you can pray a similar prayer with your friends. If you're not comfortable having them repeat after you, have them pray their own prayer and just tell them what elements need to be in it. Okay? Now, John 5:24 says, and this is in the NIV, it reads this way, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Do you see it? Isn't that a neat verse?
Yeah.
You've crossed over. So we've all crossed over. If you've said that prayer for the first time with all your heart, if you were strayed from the Lord, you're back connected again. Because sometimes we get disconnected by sin and going our own way. Not that we lose our salvation necessarily, but we're out of contact with God, right? So we need to reconnect. God wants us connected. He wants us connected to Him. He wants us connected to each other. He wants us connected to a local church. Amen? So keep that bulletin insert. Like I said, it's simple artwork. And you have various different pictures. You can see I did it all in one diagram. And that's how you can do it. So that's my favorite way to share the gospel. One of my favorite ways. And the reason is, that's how I got saved. I got saved through Christian literature. I found this, they call it the bridge illustration. I call it his story, but it's also known as the bridge illustration. I found it in a book. And I said, why didn't anybody ever tell me this? This is so simple. And I prayed a simple prayer that was in the book, and I got connected to God. And He changed my life. Amen? Amen? So that's how I got saved. But it is very effective. Now, who do we share our faith with? Okay, Jesus said before He was taken up to heaven in Mark 16:15, He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Who?
Everyone.
That's everyone and anyone. Anyone that the Holy Spirit leads you to. And we have to have eyes to see that because sometimes we miss it. I just missed an opportunity. Last week I missed an opportunity. And I realized when you realize it, repent, right? Just repent and ask God to forgive you. But we need to have our eyes open to the everyone and the anyone. And that can be friends. Okay? Probably the easiest people for you to share your faith with is your friends. They are pretty open because they love you. Okay? You can also share your faith with your family, which also supposedly love you, but they can be the most difficult ones to share your faith with. They can be hard. They can be tough. But I encourage you, share with your family. Share with your neighbors. Okay, you can go visit them. Help them out. If you have a serving gift, that comes natural to you to go over and help your neighbor. Okay, just remember to tell them why, that it's the love of God in you. And when you see they have a need, pray for them, right? And coworkers, the people you work with, okay? I used to work at Pioneer Credit Recovery, and when I did, they used to rotate seats every month, okay? You had to all move around. I guess they didn't want you getting too chummy. I don't know. Anyway, they'd rotate seats. So I always looked at it that whoever came was my new person that God was giving me for that month or however long we had. And I remember one time I became friends with a young woman named Emily. And I really loved her. And we would go to lunch together, and she would share with me, and she would open up her heart to me. And I really was honored to be able to pray with her a prayer that just assured her of her salvation. And then to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this was on our lunch break. You know, we'd go places, you know, in our car, and we would have time. So I would minister to her and help her with some of her problems or try to and pray for her. And, you know, she ended up leaving Pioneer Credit Recovery and became a nurse. And I expected her to go places and have a big family. She was married. But you know what? Emily caught a disease, a deadly disease, and she passed away.
And I never even found out she passed away until after she was gone. And I felt so bad I wasn't there for her. But you know what? I was there when she needed me to make sure that she was over here. Amen? And to help her be connected with God and help her relationship with God to deepen. See, sometimes they're already connected, but you need, maybe they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Pray for that. Pray for them to be filled with the Spirit. Pray for them to get closer. Pray for their problems. We all have a ministry. Okay, so Emily, she needed to know that she was going to go be with God. 1 John 5:13 says, I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, we can know. Amen?
Yes.
So then we need to invite them to church. Invite them to your care group. Invite them to whatever it is you're involved in the church, because we need each other. And they need to get connected, not only to God, but to a local church. Because it's the banana that gets separated from the bunch that gets peeled and eaten.
Yes.
So we need to get connected.
Yes.
Luke 14:23 says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God wants a filled house. Okay, next, where do we share our faith? Where? Okay, the same verse I read, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? Go where? Into all the world and preach the gospel, into all the world. That's anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere God opens a door, you can share the gospel. For example, last week we went to the fair. Erie County Fair. And we were walking through one of the buildings that had all the, you know, exhibits, and there was a table of Muslims. And they had a picture, and I'm not sure who the picture was, and it said, Messiah has come. And I walked by that, and I said, Mike, do you mind if I go over and talk with the Muslims for a while? And he said, do you really feel you need to do this? Yes. Okay, well then you go. So him and his sister, they just went off, and I guess they prayed for me. But I started out by going over to the picture and saying, Messiah's come. I've never seen a picture of Jesus like that before. So the gentleman comes over and he begins to talk with me. And the Messiah that they talk about is not the Messiah that we talk about. Their Messiah is not our Jesus in the Bible. And that became incredibly more clear as we talked. He told me that Jesus went to India. And I said, no. Jesus has never been to India. And he handed me a book and said, yes. You read, Jesus went to India. So I opened it up and I found the part about Jesus going to India, and I turned to that chapter, and it started out saying that Jesus did not die on the cross and that he did not rise again. And I said, no. This is false doctrine. I said, Jesus did die on the cross and he did rise from the dead, and he did it for you and for me. And then I said, it's kind of like this. Let me tell you. Now, I didn't use the illustration, but I talked my way through it, okay? I said, there's us and there's God. And we were all born separated from God because of sin. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have. I said, and we try to reach God by doing all these good works, but we can never reach him. We never get connected. And to make matters worse,
The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. And not just physical death, no, but being separated from God forever. We needed a Savior, and Jesus was that Savior. And he died on the cross and bridged that gap for us. So now all we have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I put my trust in you. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior, and he will save you. And you can know you are saved. Mm-hmm. And he began to, he listened. He really listened. And I could tell this man had never heard this before. He had never heard it before. And I asked him, would you like to pray with me to accept Jesus? And he said, I pray with you. And then his wife got up and his children came over. And not really, because they kind of put a wet blanket on the whole thing. So anyway, I had to proceed and kind of go over everything with them, which I did. But then I added, I said, Jesus is the only one who qualifies to be the Savior of the world. He's the only one that qualifies. Muhammad does not qualify. Only Jesus, because he is fully God and fully man. And it took a sinless man to die this death on the cross. And none of us are sinless. Only Jesus. So he died on the cross for you and for me. She said, oh, so you think Jesus is a deity? He is a God? I said, Jesus is the God. And she said, well, we don't believe that. We believe he's a prophet. And she said, we do what we do because he wants us to. And I said, Jesus never said, go follow Muhammad. He never said that. But what he did say is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. You see. So with all that, the gentleman began to say, only one God, Allah, Allah. Okay. So then another young woman stepped up, a girl, and I got to speak with her a little bit too. So it was a fun-filled day. You say, did anyone accept Jesus that day? No. But that's okay, because I planted seeds. First Corinthians 3:6 says, the Apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase.
Right.
See, we all work together for the furthering of the gospel, you see. Mm-hmm. Just, we got to be willing to roll up our sleeves and go to work. What does it mean to water? Well, I think it has two meanings, really. One is, I might plant a seed, and then somebody else comes and says something else to them,
right,
and that waters. Or we can water it with prayer. So I've been praying for this Muslim family. And by the way, they were really a loving family. In fact, one of the things the woman said to me was, it's not you Christian, I Muslim, we hate each other. No, we need to love each other. She said that to me.
Wow.
And I said, that's right. We do need to love each other. And they were just a wonderful family. See, they're not all off of your head. No. There are some very loving, sincere Muslims that are trying to work their way to heaven. They're trying to work their way to be connected to God. See, they have no assurance of salvation in their religion. Even Muhammad didn't know he was saved, if he was saved or not. So none of them knew. None of them had an assurance. So we all work together for the harvest. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. The harvest, Luke 10:2 says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See, we need to pray, God, send perfect laborers. Now I'm trying to water that seed. Lord, send more perfect laborers to this Muslim family. Amen? But what it doesn't mean is just pray that God sends somebody and you not go. Okay, it doesn't mean that. One time I was praying for a relative, and I had a message on my heart that they needed to hear. And I said, Lord, send someone. And he spoke to me as clearly as I'm speaking to you right now. And he said, I hope the next person I send doesn't ask me to send someone else. Yeah, yeah, he said that to me very clearly. And I said, oh, you want me to go? So I went, and it went very well, and he received what I had to say. So we need to pray like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6:8. He said, I hear the Lord's voice saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. That needs to be our heart. Amen? I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, I told everybody about Jesus. I was on fire, and I didn't know a lick of theology. I didn't know nothing, okay? But I was out telling everybody what Jesus did for me. But somehow we get complacent after a while, you know? And the cares of this world come in, and they can just kind of snuff out our fire, and we can get me-focused and overwhelmed and lose our joy. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need to get the joy of our salvation back. And I really believe that you making that list of your victories in Christ is going to help you. It's going to stir you up, and it's going to give you ammo, right? So you have something to say when you go out there. And sometimes we can even get the shame of the gospel come on us. It's something where you feel ashamed to tell people about Jesus. But the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Amen? So be not ashamed. Kick that shame out of your house, out of your heart, out of your life. Now, on the night of Jesus' crucifixion, his disciples were scattered. Their hopes of Jesus taking over by some kind of military event or government effect were gone when he was arrested. Because they thought he was their savior, but they had the wrong idea. And so they ran and they were afraid. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. But they didn't understand that yet. So the disciples were afraid and they're hiding out. And Peter even denied Christ. Mm-hmm. Not once, not twice, but three times he denied Christ. But after Jesus died, and after he rose again, and he ascended up to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit down so that we would not be alone, and that we would have a comforter, and so that we would have empowerment for ministry. So his disciples received the Holy Spirit, and something changed.
Amen.
Right? No longer were they hiding out. No longer were they running for their life and denying Christ. No, they were now empowered for ministry. They're ready to go out and tell the good news. They're ready to tell it on the mountaintops. Amen? Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We all need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, amen? So we can get out there in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, on the ends of the earth, that our ministry will widen and will be everywhere we set our foot, we can claim for the kingdom of God, everywhere. And they prayed for boldness. And it doesn't mean that they didn't wrestle with being timid and afraid. I believe they did. But they prayed for boldness, and God answered their prayer. when they were threatened to keep quiet and shut up about the name of Jesus. Acts 4, 29 and 30 says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Amen? Amen. Are you ready for a fresh move of God? Are you ready for a fresh anointing for evangelism? A fresh anointing to share your faith? A fresh anointing that will empower you for ministry? If you're ready, stand to your feet. We are going to pray and believe, and I believe God is going to come by His Spirit, and He's going to fill you with a fresh anointing. Amen?
Amen?
So put your hands out, if you will. It's a fresh mantle. You know, when we were little kids, we put our hands up for a mom to change her shirt and put a new shirt on us. Well, think of it that way. You're putting your hands up, and He's going to put a fresh mantle on you, a fresh mantle of power this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we reach out with arms of faith. We reach out and believing and asking. And Lord, even as Isaiah came and said, "Put the coal to my mouth, O God," we pray, put the coal to our mouth that we would be purged of our sin, that we would be holy people. Make us holy, O God. Forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we pray that you would empower us. And as Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." We say, "Here we are, send me." We believe revival is coming, but we want to be a part of it. We don't want to watch by the sidelines. We want to be a part of what you're doing, God. And it's an honor to do so. So, Lord, by your Spirit, now, come. Fall upon these people, I pray. Fall upon these people in Jesus' name. Fall upon them at home that are reaching out. Lord God, those who are releasing their faith right now, I pray that they catch it, that they catch your anointing, that you would empower them. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Empower us. Empower us, Lord, with a fresh anointing, Lord, for your work, for your ministry, and most of all, for your glory, O God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revival is coming, but He wants you to be a part of it. Amen? So in closing, a quick recap. The world's in great need. Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Revival is coming. Pray it in. Tell your story. Tell other people's stories. Tell His story. Pray with people. Invite them to church. Revival is coming, and God wants to use you to ignite it, because Jesus is the answer. Now go tell someone. Amen.